Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up. Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here. Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Grateful for two reasons. Well, there's a lot more, but for our purposes, grateful for two reasons. Number one, thank you for joining us and partnering with us. We are launching a big deal. This fall, you are going to hear eight new voices added to Gospel Partners Media. In other words, we're finally bringing on some smart people who are going to talk into the social media void with truth, all eminently qualified individuals, all a part of Gospel Partners ministry to reach people with truth, to strengthen the local church, to encourage local pastors, to produce resources, and lots of them. It is a big, bold, new initiative. We're saying that we're creating a Christian Daily Wire, but only in concept, not with content. We're not going to become political. That's up to other folks. Well, now we'll talk about politics when it has a Christian concern or interest, or there's something that we can learn. Happy to do that, but we're not going to be a political entity. Instead, we are going to be a gospel entity with eight new voices. Right now, we have a matching campaign to the tune of $250,000. Thank you to the people who have already given dollar for dollar match. If you haven't joined us yet, if you can, please consider partnering with us. We want to get loud. We want to get stronger here. We want people to hear great news, not good news, great news, that there is an awesome Savior named Jesus Christ. And speaking of awesome, that actually is a word we're going to focus on Sunday. Church, Alpharetta Bible Church specifically. When was the last time you were awed? When was the last time you were like, because we tend to use the word awesome, like, dude, Dunkin' Donuts, man. They got their cranberry nut muffin. That's like awesome. Okay, that's a little bit trite. Awesome should be something that causes awe. And Jesus Christ does just that. If you're in Atlanta, join us Sunday morning to talk about our awesome Savior. And please consider supporting us, partnering with us at this match time. You can learn more at wretched.org/donate. Or if you want to see who all the fellows are, wretched.org/fellows. Reason number two, who I'm grateful you keep sending stuff to idea@wretched.org. I cannot tell you how grateful I am for that. And when you text questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, 2877-282-2337.
Are you really grateful for everything they send?
I have a funny feeling we're going to start it out with a kidney punch.
No. Well, I'm saving that for later.
You know,
it's like lightning. You never know when I'm going to strike.
I don't know what it is, but the culture online and the culture of emails that we receive, it's not ugly. It's just not. Over the years, yeah, there have been some stinkers, but for the most part, most people behave in a really godly, mature way. Now, I haven't lost sight of that because I don't know that every podcast or radio show can say that. People are trying to be Christianly. And I appreciate that. So are you going to ruin that now?
No. I was just referring to all the dad jokes we're getting.
Okay.
Do you appreciate those, Todd?
All right, hit me with your best shot, Pat.
Oh, you want it right now?
Give it to me. You're not going to sneak it in now that you've told me they're coming.
Okay, this came in by text. Where did Noah keep the bees?
In the ark. I don't know. Where do you keep the bees?
In the archives.
I almost had it. I almost had it. I had hives. I had ark. I just had the word order wrong. It's actually spelled with a C, but go ahead. What's your other?
No, that's
knee slab. That's the best one of the week.
Yep, that is.
All right.
All right.
All right. Hold on. I need to recant. I'm really not grateful for everything that comes in.
All right. This is from Faith. Todd, my husband likes to throw around that I'm head of the household to affirm his decision making when we have disagreements.
Yeah.
I feel like he has a misunderstanding of what that actually means in the biblical context.
Yeah.
Could you shed some light for us?
Yeah, that needs to be colored. Does the man ultimately have the ability to say, honey, it's come to this. The trigger needs to be pulled. We're at odds on this. So I'm going to do that because the Lord has loaned me that authority. Yeah, that can happen, but I have to confess, been married now for over 30 years. I don't recall slapping down that card. And don't think for a second my wife is a pushover or a doormat. Why are you smirking, Jimmy?
No reason.
You know Mrs. Friel.
I do.
She works right down the hall. She's not a weak woman by any means. But I've never felt the need to do that because a Christian marriage should be about oneness. It should be about together. And if part of my body isn't pleased, I'm not pleased. If my wife doesn't want to do something, then I don't want to do it. But in those instances, and I think that there's some rules that even accompany sort of the big decisions that ultimately have to be made, be wise, sir, be wise. Because you do not want to override your wife's desires. And if you ultimately conclude, look, I know this is best. This is what I truly believe. I've done my homework. I've received godly counsel. I've studied the word. Sweetheart, this is the way that we have to go. It should be delivered like that. But look, Bible says I'm the head of the house. So zip it. That is no way to go about the business of leading spiritually. How does Jesus lead you? He does not do it caustically. He doesn't do it by simply slapping us upside the head. He teaches. He encourages. Yeah, he exhorts patiently. And that should be the tone that accompanies every conversation, frankly, that we have in marriage. Yes, sir, you do have that authority. Use it wisely. And if you're one who is regularly having to flex that muscle, I would suggest to you, and I'm not talking about to the individual who sent the text, but I would suggest to you that you're perhaps not doing as good a job as you think you are being a gardener. You say, I'm sorry, what just happened there? A gardener, well, that's what the word husband means. You're a husbandman. You're a gardener. You're a farmer. And if you got weeds in your garden that you're having to violently pluck up, and it's because you're doing something wrong. If you looked at a garden, if you looked at a farmer's field and you saw wheat that was intermingled with tares, the soil is rocky and hard, the spindly stalks, who would you blame for that? You'd ultimately blame the farmer. Now, you could blame Monsanto, the lack of rain, but it's still the farmer's responsibility for how the field grows. And that is true for you and your field, sir. If your house is demanding that you step up and, hey, this is so quiet, this is the way we're doing it, they're not the problem. Now, do they have problems? Of course they do. But they're not the problem. You're the farmer. You're the husbandman. You're the gardener. How does your garden grow? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Peggy. Todd, what do you think about Bible journaling? It's all the rage now. People take Bible, paint all over it, decorate it.
Oh, that stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. But she says she feels like it's covering up God's word with artwork, and it seems like blasphemy to her.
Well, okay, so we're talking about Bible journaling, like I'm writing in a journal what I'm learning today from the Bible?
No, these specific journal Bibles where you write on the actual pages and even over top of the words.
Well, I don't know why you'd want to do that. Could you have a Bible that is formatted so you can write notes? That doesn't bother me. I don't think that's somehow blasphemous or it's somehow degrading scripture. You're just using this book. Do you feel this internal, it's the Bible. You'll know that feeling when your Bible is so tattered and worthless, you want to just throw it away. But I can't do it because it's a Bible. You got that going on inside. Okay. So we understand it is the word of God. We revere that, not the actual physical pages as much, even though they are contained on those pages. To cover them up, I see no reason to do it. That would be like, whoa, what do you think you're putting your words on top of God's word? But putting notes on the side and what you heard in the sermon, I don't think that's blasphemous. I would go so far to say that is pleasing to the Lord because it demonstrates, hey, I really, really, really want to be like your son. This is Wretched Radio.
I'm so excited about this.
That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. As you know, we're living in a time where the foundations of our society are crumbling. Truth is being exchanged for lies, but we at Gospel Partners Media refuse to sit back and watch it happen. That's why we're building a Christian version of the Daily Wire. And we're not just talking about it, we're doing it. We're bringing in 8 new powerful voices to invade Christian media with the truth of God's word. But here's the thing, we need your help in order to make this happen. We're currently in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign, which means every dollar you're able to give will be doubled. And look, we all know times are tough, money is tight, but this is much more than just another donation. It's about investing in the future of our faith, our families, and our world. So if you're currently in a place right now in your life that you can give to this initiative, we would greatly appreciate the partnership. You can find out more right now at wretched.org/fellows. That's wretched.org/fellows. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Friend of Sinners. While we were dead in our sins and condemned as enemies, Jesus bore our sins in himself so we could be reconciled to the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you don't send stuff, then I don't learn about these things, don't you know? This is Wretched Radio. Idea at wretched.org is the email address to send wretched things, including this story from Minnesota, my home state, which I would not have heard about if you did not send it in. Turns out 2,000 students in Minnesota, specifically Osseo, they decided we don't want to sit during this indoctrination for LGBTQ business, so they walked out. And so did 15 teachers. Wish it were more teachers, nevertheless. Osseo, lovely part of Minnesota. In June, the school board approved an LGBTQIA+, yikes, history and cultural resolution. And the reason that I bring this up is because we are nearing the longest month of the year, June. But wait, that's not enough. The presidents get a day. LGBTQ gets a month and then some. This Osseo school board approved a resolution that directed the superintendent to support policies, practices, and curricula that respect LGBTQ students. Hey, Jimmy, I don't know if you realize this, but teaching geometry, disrespectful. Teaching history, disrespect. What curriculum? You're just teaching? To support policies that respect LGBTQ students and their families in June and throughout the school year. Hold on. According to the resolution, the superintendent must officially recognize June as Pride Month, dedicate another month other than June for recognizing LGBTQIA+ History and Culture Month, and give support for gender-affirming curriculum and pedagogical practices. Oh, see? We're edumacators. It's got a big word in it. There's only 12 months. Take them. Just take them at this point.
But the June Pride Month comes during the summer, so they have to celebrate it when school's in session.
Right. When make it December to just you know. Okay, that's about as crazy as, say, a president doing the sign of the cross at an abortion rally. That would just be absolutely crazy. Or how's about on Easter? What was the thing that he did? It was Trans Day. Easter was trans. Yeah. That would never happen in this country. Keep sending stuff, even stuff like that, to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, how can I increase my love for my brothers and sisters in Christ and stop judging them?
You just took the first step. You just took the big one. Uh-oh, I become hypercritical. That is so easy to do. I was spending a little time thinking. On occasion, it happens. Okay, it lasts about 3 to 4 seconds. Nevertheless, for me, that's a long time. That knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. Notice what it doesn't do. It doesn't grow in warmth, kindness. It doesn't even grow in obedience. It just puffs up. Ask yourself the question, what are you consuming as a Christian? Are you merely consuming knowledge? Now, I so appreciate the corrective that we have more than ably addressed when it comes to squishy sermons. But in part, there has been an overcorrection where expository preaching has become basically a seminary lecture. Furthermore, many of the books that we do enjoy, and I like them too, don't get me wrong, that they increase knowledge. I'm not saying become dumb. You don't get some sort of spiritual lobotomy when you become a Christian. You do want to gain knowledge, but note, knowledge, mere knowledge, if I might, puffs up. There's a danger in becoming theologically smart. I didn't say don't become it. But what I'm saying is if that's all you become, it puffs up. And that's where the censorious spirit comes from. That's where the critical nature finds fertile soil to grow and to flourish, because we know stuff. And let's be honest, we all have that propensity, some more, some less. When you know something, you don't mind telling the group. because you know it. Hey, okay. No, actually, I do know where Peoria is located. And you get to share that. Well, we can do that with theology too. We just want to let people know that we know furthermore, because it puffs up anything that doesn't resemble our knowledge is looked down on. And we have to find the balance of gaining knowledge without becoming puffed up. This is not an encouragement to become a Christian dummy, but it is an encouragement to be a smart Christian who is loving and patient and pastoral. I think that is one of the most helpful words, I think, when it comes to this subject. Be pastoral. No, you don't occupy the office of pastor, but act pastorally toward people. If you're judging people and constantly correcting people on everything, are you being pastoral? Are you trying to shepherd somebody? Are you trying to help somebody? Or are you merely doing a data dump because you've gained knowledge and become puffed up? So what must you do to lose that? Well, part of it is maturity. And please note this, by the way, here's something that I think we need to be on guard for. We've all observed this. Guys who are once theologically sound get old, and then they get liberal because of experience, they meet different people, or they're just getting tired. We have to guard against that. Simultaneously, as we get older, there should be a bit of a sweetening. I didn't say a squishening, a sweetening. And that comes with time, and that comes with maturation. So how can you expedite that process? Read your word for a different purpose than mere knowledge. I didn't say reject knowledge, but read it to love your Savior more. Listen to sermons that exalt Christ. Stop just amassing theory and theology and a systematizing of your theological columns. That's all good, but that is not all there is to Christianity. We're to love our God with all of our heart, soul, minds, and strength. So learn for that goal. And as you do, you're going to be less censorious. And you know what you're going to be? Instead of just smart, you're going to be wise. And that's a different thing. And you're going to be patient. And you're going to be observant. And you're going to inject yourself at very strategic times. The other way that you can expedite that process is allow others to proverb you. Hey, I just heard you talking to that person. Bro, that it came across really sharp and kind of unnecessary. And hey, maybe you didn't know, but that particular person, they're struggling with this. They've got this situation at home. And you kind of jumped in hard. Maybe you didn't know that. In other words, let people help you. You do those two things and you will find yourself finding the balance of gaining knowledge, but not being a puffed up jerk. 877-282-2337.
All right. Yeah, there is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge, having information, you just look like you're expecting something.
You, for me?
Yeah, you just said
well, for you to say something.
Put your hand on your hip.
No. You know, and I got to work on that. I'm telling you, I'm throwing my right hip out. For real, we don't really care about your chiropractic issues. I have a tendency to put all of my weight on the right side. Okay, see, now isn't that something? All right, I was actually genuinely listening to you because I went, wow, this must be something important because you actually interrupted yourself. You were going to go into the next text.
Uh-huh, well, yeah.
And you had to say, so I'm like, I'm interested. And isn't it funny you perceive me as being like... something else.
You ready for a dad joke?
This is why we need one another. I thought it was, okay, dude, let's hear it. What do you got?
Well, I was going to say there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is having information. Wisdom is having that information and knowing when and where and how to use
it. That's right.
Yeah.
Don't lose it. That's what we see, I think, happening with older saints. They fail to remember you still need to pick up that sword. That thing still needs to be wielded. And we all know of enough examples where that has happened. We must find that balance. And one of the best ways to do it is to consider your diet. Mm. Do I need to put my hand on my hip? Can I take it off now?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, the arm crossing is another thing. When I'm really listening, I arm cross. And I not the way that like the Stars and Joyce Meyer are doing these, you know, that like the X, they make the X thing.
Yeah.
It's like some sort of trend. I don't know what. It's probably the Illuminati or something.
Probably.
But when I cross my arms, it's because it's like I'm focusing. Unfortunately, it comes across like, what are you so mad about, dude? You're looking at me like you want to stab me. No, it's just the way that I do it. And that is why I need people in my life to tell me, this is how you're doing. This is how you're talking. This is how you're judging. This is how you are interacting with other saints. We need one another to grow in Christ's likeness. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, a concerning move, the city of Austin, Texas, has voted to become a sanctuary city, not for the unborn, but for child sex change surgeries. The city council in Austin voted 9-1 in favor of violating state law, essentially allowing mutilation and sterilization of children under the guise of gender-affirming care. There's actually nothing caring about this at all. And in Canada, the government there is building the world's first LGBTQ monument. It's a $13 million project paid by the LGBT Purge Fund. The design, it's a jagged cylinder. It's meant to represent and embody the strength, activism, and hope of the community. And it's been met with a whole lot of criticism for its underwhelming appearance. $13 million, you better smooth some edges off there, buddy. And a concerning revelation, an investigation has uncovered that the Biden administration has been collaborating with radical trans organizations in order to discuss ways to help children access, here's this word again, gender-affirming mutilation. Even in states where it's banned, emails reveal discussions about removing parental consent requirements and using Medicaid to fund the procedures. And Northwestern University has found itself at the center of a whole lot of trouble. Lawsuits have been thrown toward the university after its agreement with anti-Israel protesters to fund scholarships and teaching positions for Palestinians. One lawsuit alleges the university enabled anti-Semitic harassment, while others argue that the agreement violates the Civil Rights Act by discriminating based on race and national origin. And at the University of Michigan, surprise, surprise, a male athlete that's trans-identifying has sparked some backlash for competing in the Women's National Collegiate Club Water Polo Championship. That's a mouthful. For the second time, critics are arguing that the individual has an unfair advantage, with one even comparing the situation to allowing LeBron James to play in the WNBA. That's a pretty good comparison. Finally, in Georgia, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp has signed a bill that mandates that jailers check the immigration status of inmates and collaborate with federal immigration officials. The law is aiming to crack down on illegal immigration. Kemp stated that if individuals enter the country illegally and commit crimes, they are going to face the consequences of those crimes. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. When we were dead in sin and unrighteousness, God provided the righteousness he requires in Jesus Christ, our substitute. If God has provided for our salvation, how much more is he able to meet our daily needs? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Have you ever heard a sneak announcement before the actual announcement? You're about to. This is Wretched Radio. So grateful you send stuff to idea@wretched.org. You text 877-282-2337. Not supposed to talk about this till next week, but I want to let you know we got something really cool planned. Next week, we are going to be doing a YouTube video thing. Special event, live event, something like that. Whatever it's called. And you are going to meet our jolly good fellows. We are going to be doing a it's not a webinar. That's a different thing. It's a YouTube event is what it is. Ken Ham's going to be joining us. Phil Johnson going to be joining us. And by the way, Phil's doing better. Not there. Got some levels and issues, which actually I think we should have all anticipated. His kidney shut down for a number of days. Thankfully, the Lord healed him. And they're coming back, but a lot of his levels are off. The body so intricate. And so he's just got different things that are like off the chart or under the chart. And his doctor says it's just a matter of time. Your body's got to get reacclimated, got to catch up with certain things and maybe some vitamins here or some eating that there to help the body get what it needs. But otherwise, he's doing better. Not perfect yet, but better. And he kindly joins us next week, along with Tim Challies and Andrew Walker and Jason Lyle. How cool, Jason Lyle. Do you know Jason? He designed the planetarium at Answers in Genesis. He's going to be joining us because we're going to be talking in detail about the launch of our new initiative, which is huge and so exciting. And just another encouragement to support it at this time. We've got a match giving campaign of $250,000, wretched.org/donate. But please don't tell anybody I told you, because I'm not supposed to tell you till next week. Clearly demonstrating I could use a little growth in the self-control department.
Are you ready for a question?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You didn't give me my cue.
Common conundrum snark.
Okay. Todd, this is a text from Anonymous. How does one fast? How long is it typically done for? Also, is it all right to let your spouse know that you're fasting?
Hey, why don't you send me that text or email in about 3 weeks? Because I'm actually going to be doing a deeper dive into fasting than I probably have ever done in preparation for the accusation that the scribes and Pharisees delivered against Jesus' disciples. Why aren't they fasting? And so we see it's not a thorough treatment of fasting. And so we need to kind of sort out what Jesus said when he told them, hey, when the bridegroom is here, you don't fast. You basically, you go to a banquet. When I'm gone, they'll fast. Okay, that isn't a direct command, but it implies that it is something that would become somewhat normative. What does that look like for us? What's the purpose of it? How often are you supposed to do it? So, Jimmy,
yes,
put that one in the 2 weeks from now folder.
Okay,
I did sermon prep. I gotta tell you, sermon prep has been something. Been preaching through the Gospel of Matthew since December 24th. This is for me the first time preaching through a book of the Bible. Normally I just preach here, I'll preach there, but this is making verse by verse, marching through the Gospel of Matthew. And I got to tell you, it is really, it's your pastor, if he's been preaching that way for a long time, he's very disciplined. I know it's not something that tends to be put forward that anybody would know about, but when you see your pastor this Sunday, realize that strapping yourself down to a desk and being faithful to a text in order to put the spotlight on Jesus Christ, which is what the Gospel of Matthew happens to be all about, he's a disciplined fellow. He gives up stuff. He doesn't watch as much TV. He just studies, and you sometimes have to chain yourself there because it is a discipline. But simultaneously, I have to tell you, wow. And now when it's had an effect when I hear atheists talk about the Bible. Well, you know, the Bible is all. There was some article on the Christian Post. It was a celebrity. I didn't know who it was, so I didn't bother to bring it in here. But, you know, the Bible's stupid, bunch of myths, stories. Dude, you haven't even cracked open a Bible, let alone sat with it, because the longer you sit in a book, you are overwhelmed with not just the sense, but the certainty that this is inspired writ. And it is so much more brilliant beyond our comprehension. Sorry to bang on this drum, but The expository preaching that typically tends to take a verse or a paragraph that decisions were made by editors. Okay, here's the paragraph. And then they just plumb the depths of it, but miss the flow of it. I got to tell you, every single line I'm reading through Matthew, we're getting into Matthew chapter 9 on Sunday. Oh, that's what he was doing back there. Oh, that's the theme that he... Oh, that was the Old Testament verse. It is a tapestry that is only woven together by a supernatural source. That is the glory and the benefit of having to, if you will, exposit Scripture. It's a discipline and it's a blessing. 877-282-2337.
It's certainly not a burden.
No.
You can find yourself in a situation where it feels that way in the beginning, but I think a disciplined pastor falls more and more in love with the word the more he does that.
You certainly do, but I will confess this, because and every pastor does this differently when they are assembling their sermon. I have a process, and I have to admit there's some of the process, they're more workmanlike. Once I've completed what I believe to be an outline, I want to go back and I have to format it in a way that I can preach it, because everybody's different. So there isn't like a right or wrong in this. Everybody's different how they handle it. But when I look down, I need to see certain things and I need to be able to find them easily. And I need to know what my cues are. So Friel, we didn't ask. When it comes to like the text that we're working through, I bold it, italicize it, and indent it. So if I know that I'm moving on to next, I just can find it really quick. And going through and doing stuff like that, oh, okay, I've got to bold the bullet points. Oh, you know what? Those bullet points need spaces and they probably should be numbers. That part's kind of like that. Yeah. The rest, duh, duh, bah, duh. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Peggy. Todd, should Christians be celebrating the Passover?
Should we? Must we? Can we? You can if you would like to, but please. Okay, I wouldn't say that it's a sin to go back and celebrate it the way the Jews would have in the Old Testament. I don't think that's... You can learn about that, but Passover is all about Jesus. So now we have the fulfillment. Our Passover lamb has come. He was slain. He, by the way, Revelation 5, that lamb who was slain, the only one worthy to break the seal and open the scrolls. Is anybody worthy? Can anybody do that? And then I saw one, a lamb that was slain. That's our Savior. He's our Passover lamb. And we got him. And Passover merely pointed. It was a type. It was a shadow. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Those festivals, those Sabbaths, they were pointing to Jesus. So if you want to do a Passover celebration, Old Testament style, okay, kind of cool. But it's nowhere near celebrating our Passover lamb. That, by the way, that's why Easter week tended to be something that we celebrated a lot more. Jesus Christ. The night he was betrayed, it was Passover night. Our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, was betrayed that very night. The passion was, whew, like in full force right now. That's what Passover is all about. So my encouragement would be, if you want to celebrate it, cool. But celebrate it knowing we've got the fulfillment of all of the elements that you'll be consuming. And just one aside on that, be careful of the elements that you consume. The afikoman is one such thing. It's not a biblical practice. It was something that was probably added centuries into this side of the calendar, where they take a piece of bread and it gets hidden in a cloth and then it gets hidden in the house and you have to go find it and then they open it up. See, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Boom, there it is. Well, boom, no, it's not there because that's not the intention of it, nor is that a biblical element. Be careful about the foods that represent. The bitter herbs, it was for their a reminder of their suffering from being a displaced people. Because remember, these were the people who had experienced real bitterness. So Passover is a reminder of being in bondage and then God passing over because of the blood of the lamb shed on the doorposts. All that to say, fine, just be careful you don't import too much into it, and celebrate Passover to the max by celebrating our Passover lamb. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others, it's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
As most of you know, we're at a pivotal moment in our culture. We are facing a desperate need for truth. And here at Gospel Partners Media, we see the need, and that's why we are launching our most ambitious makeover ever. A Christian version of the Daily Wire. It's coming later this year. It's a facelift for this ministry. It's not just another initiative. It's a call to action for every believer everywhere. Join us as we welcome 8 powerful and theologically sound voices to our family. Men like Dr. John Crotts and Dr. Greg Gifford gearing up to bring you insight on everything from ethics and theology to science and parenting. Look, it's time for a bold response to a darkening world, and you can be part of it. Join our $250,000 match campaign right now, and together we can illuminate the shadows. Visit wretched.org/fellows to learn more. That's wretched.org/fellows. And let's build this thing together.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Speaking of texts. Yikes, this is Wretched Radio, the English language sometimes. What were we thinking? You can send texts to 877-282-2337. I think I just learned a lesson. What? You can send your text, because the plural.
Yeah.
That one is a little bit tricky for me. You can send your text to 877-282-2337. Received a text from Erwin Lutzer this morning. You know the pastor emeritus from Moody Bible Church in Chicago. He is currently, wow, at the age of 82, doing great things. He sent me a text stating that he had the honor of preaching the gospel on TV. And you say, That's not such a big deal. That happens regularly in the United States. You are correct, but it doesn't happen a lot in Albania. In fact, it's never happened. A few years ago, Erwin Lutzer was invited to go to Albania. He went, and the crowds that received him were amazing. People so hungry to hear a Bible teacher. So the organizer people got together and they invited him back, and he appeared. They're doing events and what have you. Pray for him. But he also appeared on a TV show. And this is what he texted. This is the first time the gospel was shared on national TV in Albania. The interview went viral and was the number one shared program on April 29, 2024. How cool is that? The station received complaints. Not shocked for letting me talk openly about Jesus, but all is well. Pray for his safety. Thank you so much for your prayers. God is answering. 82 years old, senior saint. There's a mission field for you someplace. Please, as much energy and strength as God has given to you, use it for the expansion of his kingdom, for the strengthening of the body. How's about that, Erwin Lutzer, 877-282-2337.
All right, this question is from Joe. Todd, how do you quantify the amount of evil in a person?
There's a lot.
Yeah. Spurgeon said, when it comes to the choice between the lesser of two evils, choose neither. Evil is still evil. These are tough days with tough decisions.
I think the context here must be the election.
Yeah, that's what
am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with the phrase that you vote for the lesser of two evils, but simultaneously, and you're going to say, hey, that ain't consistent. I agree with Spurgeon. You never choose between two evils, meaning you don't pick one because it's lesser than the other. In other words, you don't participate in a milder form of evil because your option was to commit greater evil. Never, ever, ever participate in evil. But I don't think that's what you're doing when you're voting. You're voting for the one who's going to do the least bad and hopefully the most good. And all you're doing is trying to influence what is going to be a reality. Somebody's going to win the election. Somebody's going to be in there. And you can participate in that process by voting. Now you say, but I'm looking at these people. Nobody's genuinely pro-life. Right. So you need to figure out which one is least pro-death and vote. You're voting for the lesser of the two evil positions, but you're not participating in their decisions and their legislation and what they do, whether it's the White House or the courthouse or the state house. You're not you're not liable for their evil behavior by trying to actually do a good thing. That's how I would look at it. You're nowhere near participating in evil. You're trying to impact society for good. Maybe that helps you plug your nose and vote. And hey, speaking of the fellows, real, we weren't actually speaking of, well, we were at some point here this week on Wretched Radio. Andrew Walker, he's the ethicist from Southern Sem. He's going to be joining us at the end of June to deliver 10 lectures on Christian ethics. And I've got a funny feeling we're going to be talking about politics in that context. And I'm going to sit down and interview him a lot. And you may not agree with everything he says. I honestly, with the issue of the political realm, it's a rare day when you agree with somebody on absolutely, positively everything at the same level of intensity. He's a big brain. He's a big thinker. He's theologically sound. He's dedicated his life to helping other people think rightly about, among other things, the issue of politics. Looking forward to that. And as long as I brought it up, please consider supporting our initiative. We're adding Andrew Walker. We're adding 8 voices to help us be bigger, stronger, broader, enduring. You can learn more, wretched.org/fellows or wretched.org/donate, as we currently have a $250,000 matching campaign. This is a big deal. Would like to encourage you to consider being a part of it. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Braden. Todd recently was having a conversation with an unbeliever who kept bringing up the point or a point in which I didn't quite know how to respond to. She said historically that there were religions before Christianity, therefore discrediting the Bible.
How does that discredit the Bible?
He didn't know how, even how to respond to
it. Okay, let's go to McDonald's. You know, I McDonald's, they claim to sell hamburgers. But I Googled, it turns out that there were other hamburger restaurants before McDonald's. You know what that means? Their credibility is undermined. You'd go, what? It doesn't make any difference if there were other religions before Christianity. Besides, don't forget, we without misunderstanding this, we do have this connection, these roots in Judaism, but you could indeed argue, wait a second, we do know that there were other religions before Judaism, but wait a second, let's just read our Bibles. Let's start with the Mosaic Covenant. That's the codification, if you will, of the Jewish religion. That's when God made a covenant directly with his people. That was 1425, give or take. 2200, he made that promise to Abraham. And his children, they were proliferating like a nobody's business. But the religion itself, there were religious aspects because there were still sacrifices going on, hence Abraham and Isaac. But the details of the religion were not codified until 1425. But don't forget, Abraham has a descend. He has a relative in the genealogy named Adam. So God has always been active on the planet. He has always been teaching truth. The Jewish religion, if you want to say it didn't start until either 2200 or 1425, okay, fine. The fact that there could have been other religions before that or at that same time, I don't think that discredits religion, certainly not Christianity, nothing. It doesn't discredit anything. In fact, I would suggest to you, it actually enhances the belief in the Bible. Did you know that there are a lot of flood narratives floating around the world?
What? What's wrong?
I just did a dad joke.
What?
I said, a lot of flood narratives
floating around
the world. I did a dad joke.
You're turning into me.
Why? Why do those stories exist? Is it possible it's because, you know, there was a flood? And even though their narratives are off the Genesis account, maybe that there's a lot of flood narratives because there was actually a flood. Maybe there are a lot of religions because, you know, there's a true religion. I don't think those other systems, just logically, they don't undermine anything biblical, but I would encourage you to believe that they actually enhance the reliability of the Bible. Are we almost done?
Because
I need to go sit in a corner and just rock.
You need to call Greg Gifford.
Greg Gifford. I really like Greg Gifford.
I do too.
He's just so pleasant. It's just really agitating how nice he is all the time. But he's, you know, his world is biblical counseling. So when you're talking to him and it's all nice, it's like, you analyzing me? It's like talking to a barber. You staring at my head. What do you think? You're somehow coming to the conclusion that I really need help here. So it's a joy to spend time with Greg Gifford. And by the way, if you have not been listening to his podcast, get on it. He just went, the one that I just heard was the 10 signs you're unequally yoked, I believe.
No. This last week was 10 red flags in dating.
Yeah, that was it.
And he continues this week where he actually fleshes out how to deal with those red flags.
Yeah. But he just did the unequally yoked.
Oh, yeah, that series. Yeah.
I'm just trying to save you some time by putting them together like that. 10 red flags in dating. Whoa. That is helpful stuff. And what do you do if you are unequally yoked? All of them, they are just home runs. So if you have not tuned in yet, Spotify, Apple, all that jazz for Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. And don't forget, he's going to be a fellow too. Wretched.org/fellows, wretched.org/donate. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.